Hello and welcome to the Emmy Awards. I'm your host, Emmy Cardinale, and this is my podcast where I talk about what I've been watching or rewatching once a week. If this is the first episode of mine that you stumble upon and you enjoy it, please feel free to follow me wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe on YouTube if you're listening on YouTube, just so you can get notified when I upload a new episode. This episode, I kind of skipped a week unintentionally. I've been pretty consistent, but I had a rough week and I just kept pushing back the recording of this episode, and now it's like a week late. So I kind of skipped a week. My apologies about that. This episode is going to be shorter. So I've been recapping Bachelor Pad season 2. And I had been doing it 2 episodes at a time, but my sister wanted to join me for the season finale. And I had originally thought that there were 7 episodes. So I thought I would do 5 and 6 and then me and my sister would recap 7. But there are not 7 episodes. It's just like episode 6 and then like the after the final rose is like labeled separately in some cases, but it's just one long episode on Amazon and other places. So I am not going to be covering episode 6. That will be with my sister. I'm recording this Saturday night. I anticipate, since it's going to be shorter than my past episodes, I'm just covering one episode of Bachelor Pad. I do expect it to be out Sunday, maybe Monday at the latest. And then depending on my sister's schedule, I don't want to make her record a podcast on Christmas, so I don't know. I have to check with her when she records. But I anticipate the next episode being out, like the finale episode being out less than a week from when this one's out. Like, I don't anticipate it being like out the following Monday. Hopefully, I don't know. I got to check with my sister. And that'll be probably my last episode of the year. And then maybe my first episode of 2025 will be a like year in review of 2024. I felt kind of behind. Also, the complications of the numbers of episodes for Bachelor Pad season 2 kind of threw me off a little bit. So that's where I stand right now. This will be episode 5. Finale, my sister will be joining me, and then I will do a year in review. Likely that will be my first episode of 2025. And then The Traitors starts pretty early into the year. So that I think will be the next show I'm covering weekly. I will at some point be doing a Sex Lives of College Girls season 3 deep dive once that season's wrapped up. That'll be in a few weeks as well. So I have quite a few things going on. Apologies again for missing a week, but hopefully I'll have like 2 episodes out within a week, so it'll kind of balance each other out. Again, because my sister is included, I got to figure out what time is good for her to record. Anyways, that's my update. Thank you so much for tuning in. It means a lot. And let me just pick up where I left off on Bachelor Pad. We left episode 4 with Melissa going home. There's quite a lot to... It feels like it's been like 3 years since I recorded an episode talking about Bachelor Pad season 2, episode 4. But basically, there were a lot of dynamics in the mansion last I left you. Michael and Holly have their history, which is complicated, especially considering Holly and Blake have some kind of flirtation. Blake had a thing with Melissa. He was very explicitly in confessional saying that he was leading her on. She was kind of acting very emotionally because she was being led on. And that kind of was a whole thing. Melissa went home and Blake is kind of in the clear in that regard. So episode 5 picks up with Melissa being gone and Blake being happy that Melissa is gone. And he wants to now pair up with Holly. He's like, now I can be with Holly. That's his goal right now. He wants to be with Holly. Chris Harrison comes in post-rose ceremony and tells them that they need to partner up. They will be competing going forward for the rest of the season as couples. The competitions will be played as couples, they'll win as a couple, they will get voted off as a couple, and they will be doing the voting as a couple. So every couple only gets one vote. And I think if I was, again, I've said this many times, but because Bachelor Pad was so brief, it's hard to talk about like game mechanics and phases of the game because it was such a like short, brief game that existed. Where I think Bachelor Pad, if it had played out for like 10, 20 seasons, like a Big Brother-esque show, and it became like a competitive show in its own right, we would see a lot more development like developing of strategy and like different game mechanics adding in and different eras. There were only three seasons, so there aren't that many eras. But I do think in the game of Bachelor Pad, this would be like a different phase, like the pairing up phase. It happened last season as well. You get to a point in the game where, by nature of this being a Bachelor show, you need to have some kind of couple that you were with. And so I think you don't necessarily have to be in some kind of romantic partnership. I think if I were to play Bachelor Pad, I would strategically try to partner up with a man somewhat soon, even if it was just like a friendship. Like, we had a level of trust in preparation for like this phase of the game. So I wouldn't kind of just be stuck with whoever was left over. That would be what I would do. Because unfortunately, I think a reality, fortunately or unfortunately, it's a Bachelor Nation show, so it makes sense. But I think if you don't have like a romantic connection, this happened last season where somebody in ITM's like kind of, last season, one of the other women in the house, I don't remember who it was, said something shady about people not playing it well because they weren't partnering up and it's about relationships. And I said at the time when I was recapping that episode that it's easier said than done. Like, if you don't have a romantic connection, what are you going to do? But I do think that if I were to play this game now, I would go into it prepared for that. Season one, also, it's like they had no idea of knowing what the end game would look like. If I was going into season two, I would prepare for that and I would find somebody to partner up with, even if it was platonic, if it was just purely like, we would work well together, I like you, like, it doesn't need to be like, we are gonna get engaged, but I need a partner. I think that is something that I would aim for. I also think, like, though I say that, the real person who got screwed in that regard was Erica, because she didn't have a partner. But in Erica's defense, she did kind of want to partner up with Jake, and she wasn't able to because everybody wanted Jake gone. So I don't even think that this is too much of a fault on Erica, because I do think she was trying to have some kind of power duo, and I just don't think it worked in her favor. But anyways, Chris Harrison announces that he leaves, and they begin, and he also says before he leaves that they may want to get to know their partner better, implying that the competition will have something to do with that. Holly immediately knows that Blake wants to be her partner, and she says in ITMs that she'd love to be his partner, but she had promised Michael she'd be his partner, and she's keeping her promise, which I also think is smart. They know each other well. They have a level of trust. I think this is a perfect example. I mean, there is like a fraught emotional connection, and feelings have been a part of this dynamic the entire time. Their relationship obviously has a lot of like heavy charge to it. I do generally think like this kind of partnership, they have always kind of, throughout the season so far, they've very much been like, it's weird, but also very much been like on each other's sides. Like, despite any feelings, they've had a strong alliance, which I think is smart. Anyways, sorry, I lost my train of thought. Erica doesn't really have a partner, and Blake is her only choice, so they kind of pair up by default, because everybody else kind of has somebody that they're already coupled up with. Blake is kind of sad because he would want to be paired up with Holly, and Erica basically tells him to get it together. And then a lot of the couples start to go through what they know about each other, or like questions about each other in preparation for the competition. It's mostly Erica and Blake, Kirk and Ella, Graham and Michelle, those couples that are new in terms of like they met on the show. The couples with existing relationships, Vienna and Casey, Holly and Michael, don't really do that kind of crash course asking about each other. And because for the most part, they feel confident. Casey and Vienna feel very confident. They know each other well and will be fine. They have it in the bag, yada, yada, yada. They say it all the time. Like, I really feel like, and I have to admit, I'm falling for it a little bit because I do not like Casey and Vienna, but like, I really do not think the producers liked Casey and Vienna, because they are just like constantly, it's not good. And I know that there have been people in the past of this show who, based on other people's stories, could have gotten worse edits than they did. Do I think The Bachelor is very much willing to like screw you over? Of course, but I do think that they have people they want to protect, and they will be smart about editing things in order to protect certain people. And I just do not think that Casey and Vanna were liked at all. Either that or, like, they didn't have anything redeemable because, like, in the edit, because it's just constantly the editors are very much clowning on them. They're like, we're great. And then all you see is them, like, being horrible to each other. And, like, spoiler, they flop in this competition. Like, you didn't need to have... Holly and Michael, for example, were a couple that they weren't shown in the edit to be studying at all. And they didn't, also spoiler, they didn't like win. Like they weren't running away with it by a landslide. Like the couples with the pre-existing relationship didn't have an advantage by any means. But they didn't edit like Holly and Michael being like, we're going to win for sure. And then have them flop in the way they edited Casey and Vanna to be that way. And I just like, again, I'm falling for it. And I do think that there are some things it's like, it's not editing. I don't really think, I don't think that it's like purely editing or production. Like I do think that there is a level of toxicity that this relationship had that was just there. But I do think that there are very clearly editing jabs at them and their dynamic. Anyway, so it is the newlywed game, very standard structure, although it's called the nearly wed game is how they call it. The first question is, how many dates does your partner need before making whoopee? The men had to guess what the women would say. Kirk and Ella get a point. Casey and Vienna do not get a point. Blake and Erica get a point. Michelle and Graham get a point. Michael and Holly do not. So right off the bat, the existing couples do not have any sort of advantage in this regard. The second question is, if your partner was an animal, what animal would they be? And the women had to guess what the men would say. Kirk and Ella do not get a point. Michael and Holly did get a point. Blake and Erica get a point. And then Vienna and Casey do not get a point. Third question is, what quality do you think your exes miss the most? And the men had to guess what the women would say. So what the women would say that their exes miss the most about them. And Kirk and Ella get a point. Then Holly and Michael do not get a point. Michelle and Graham get a point. Casey and Vienna do not get a point. They're still at zero. And Vienna's like really pissed off. Like she's really not happy. She's like, oh, his guesses are pissing her off. She's not happy at all. The next question is, which quality do you think your ex-girlfriends complained about the most? And Vienna and Casey do not get a point. And then it's a montage of Vienna and Casey not getting any points. We don't see like the breakdown. The first three questions, it was kind of like they read them and then we saw what everybody guessed and who got the point. Then it becomes a little bit more loose and they begin to have montages. And the first montage is Vienna and Casey getting question after question wrong. And then we find out that Blake and Erica are in the lead. And I love this. And I was like really rooting for her. They really need to win because Blake is not liked. So, and Erica's kind of screwed because if Blake gets voted out, so will she. So they really need to win. And they're doing a very good job. So I was like excited for a little bit. The next question is, if your partner could kiss another member of the opposite sex, who would it be? And the women guessed what the men wrote down. Blake and Erica get a point. He said Holly. Then we get the question, if your partner could sleep with one other person in the house, who would it be? And the men guessed what the women said. Holly wrote Blake and Michael guessed himself and they didn't get the point. And the producers are like diabolical for that question. The next question we see is, who is your least favorite person in the house? And the women guess what the men wrote. Michael says Blake. He and Holly get the point. Kirk and Ella get a point. He also wrote Blake. Casey and Vienna get a point. Blake was the answer for that one. So again, we are very much getting in the edit that Blake is the person that they want gone. And so Erica's kind of screwed because of that. I liked Erica. I was rooting for Erica because I think she was playing really strategically. I think that she was in a bad position a few times through, like, not really a fault of her own. I think, and this can be said about, like, a lot of games and obviously, like, a lot of social strategy games, is, like, sometimes you're just fucked over by circumstance. And I do feel that way about Erica. And I think she tried her best to, like, get out of it, but like she was just screwed in a lot of ways. After a commercial break, Chris Harrison recaps the points. Erica and Blake are tied with Graham and Michelle for the lead with 7 points. And then in second place are Michael and Holly. They are at 6 points. Kirk and Ella are at 5. Vienna and Casey are last with 2 points. And that's all I have to say. I'm sorry to be such a Vienna and Casey hater. They didn't last. So I'm not, like, shitting on, like, a happily married couple with kids. Like, they did not last. Anyways, that's the one spoiler I have, is that Vienna and Casey are not together. I don't know about any of the other couples and how long they lasted, if at all. I'm waiting for the finale because the After the Final Rose, like, finale segment is recorded a few months after. And, like, there's updates in that. Like, last season, we found out what happened with Elizabeth and Kovac. So I, like, don't want to do research because I'm like, maybe I won't. Like, maybe I'll find something out during the reunion. So I'm waiting for the reunion. Anyways, Erica in ITMs talks about how she really needs to win because Blake is disliked in the house and they're going to be voted out as a couple. Michelle and Graham are doing really well in a suspicious way. Like, for example, the first inkling that something is suspicious is that the question was, who is most likely to cheat with a partner? And they wrote Michael, which seemed off. Everybody was like, Michael. They're at 10 points. Erica and Blake are 1 point behind at 9 now. The next question is, how old was your partner when he lost his virginity? Blake and Erica get a point. Vianne and Casey get a point. Graham answers 7. And they're all like, what? And obviously, at this point, I was like, okay, obviously they agreed that for any number, they'd write 7. Because there was another question before that. It was like, how many people have you slept with or something? Like, there was another question previously that he wrote 7 for. And I was like, okay, they just agreed that any number, they'd write 7. But, like, the thing is, honestly, like, maybe I'm a little bit too sensitive. I would have just lost that point because I think it's a little bit too insensitive to write that you lost your virginity at 7. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Like, I would just lose the point. I would lose the point. I would not feel comfortable saying that. But alas, it was working for them strategically. And I guess nobody knew. Like, everybody knew that they were doing it. Anyways, Michelle guesses right. And then Ella says in ITMs that was when she realized it was strategy. Graham in ITMs says that he did not lose his virginity at 7. And he explains their strategy. For numerical questions, they would write 7. For a non-gender specific person, they'd write Michael. If it was a girl, they'd say Holly. And that was kind of like the basic strategy they had to get points. Then we get the question, who does your partner think is the most irritating person in the house? Vianna and Casey get a point. Blake and Erica get the point as well. And they are now tied with Graham and Michelle. Michelle gets the answer wrong because she writes Holly, I think, instead of Michael or something like that. Like, she wrote Holly instead of writing Michael when it was gender non-specific. So he wrote Michael, but she guessed Holly, something along those lines. I don't remember. And now Graham and Michelle are tied with Blake and Erica because Blake and Erica got the point, but Michelle and Graham didn't. So they didn't pull ahead. They're tied. For the final question to break the tiebreaker, it's who in the house is your partner's secret crush? The women guessed what the men said. Erica misunderstood the question. She thought it was who is his secret crush, so she wrote Holly. But he wrote Ella because the question was like, who does he think your secret crush is? And she's like, oh yeah, Ella would have been my secret crush. They do not get the point. So Graham and Michelle do get the point. She guesses Michael because it was gender non-specific. Who is your crush in the house? They get it correct. They pull ahead and officially win the competition. They get the roses and they are safe from elimination. They're also getting a date. And the second place finishers, Blake and Erica, also get a date, but not roses. So he is sure he's going home at this point. Blake is upset because he knows he's going. He's resigned his fate. He tells Holly he's just going to have fun until he has to go. Erica and Michael talk about the situation. She tries to get Michael to realize Holly is just as much of part of the dynamic as Blake is. She's trying to really save Blake's image, get people to maybe not vote them out as a couple in any way she can. So she's trying to appeal to Michael and be like, why are you more mad at Blake than you are at Holly? She actually has like a existing relationship with you. She's just as much a part of this. Erica's really fighting. I'll give her that. Graham and Michelle's date card arrives. It's a private screening of a movie and they're really excited. Super happy for them. I was fully expecting it to be like a cop out and be like a home movie thing like they did for that date on Gabby Windy and Rachel Recchia's season, I think. Or was it? Yeah, it was their season, I think. Or was it Zach Shallcross's season? I think it was he was on the date, but it wasn't, I don't remember. Anyways, it was actually a movie. Anyways, Vienna's pissed that she and Casey lost, that they're not going on this movie date, yada, yada, yada. I feel really, like, the thing is, I feel kind of sad for Vienna. I wonder if she ever wrote, a memoir, because I would read it, because I'm sure she has a very interesting story in terms of, like, how she, about, like, what her personal experience was like, because I feel kind of, like, sad for Vienna. She was on, like, during her season of The Bachelor, she was not particularly liked by the other women. Then she won. She was in a relationship with the lead. They had a very, very messy breakup. It was televised. It was, like, a horrible breakup. Then the next time she's on the show is this experience with her ex-fiancé, her current partner, who's, like, not really the best guy. He is just, like, mean to him. It's just mean to her. Like, they fight a lot. That's not a very healthy situation for her to be in. And once again, she's kind of painted as, like, crazy or angry or, like, not positively. Vienna's not painted very positively. And I'm really curious, too, because I obviously watched the Vienna-Jake dynamic with, like, a modern-day lens. But I'm really interested because I wouldn't be surprised if at the time the narrative was Vienna's crazy. Like, Vienna is vindictive. She's crazy. People really believed Jake. I feel like I'm really curious if Bachelor Pad, like, really remedied his image. Like, I would like to do some research maybe on if there's anything possibly there. Like, if I can find an article or just, like, figure out what the temperature was surrounding the opinions of their breakup. I'm sure it was somewhere, it was, like, divided. I'm sure people thought that he was, like, an asshole and was horrible, while also people thinking she was crazy and, like, I don't know. But I do just feel kind of sad for Vienna, because even me right now being like, oh, Vienna's being negative, like, I feel kind of mean, I feel kind of, like, bad for her, because I'm like, she probably had a really negative experience from being on the show. I can't imagine. Like, I feel really bad for her. And I'm glad that she didn't end up with Casey. I hope whoever she did end up with is, like, a healthy partner. I hope she's doing well. Genuinely, whatever path her life took, I hope she's, like, healthy and doing well. Because I cannot imagine what, like, these kind of reality TV experiences would be, like, psychologically. It was so big in the tabloids. Like, I'm sure she, it was a very, very formative heavy experience to go through, I guess, is the word I was trying to think of. Anyways, a helicopter picks Michelle and Graham up for their date, and Michelle really hopes that they leave the date with a stronger connection. Back at the mansion, Casey and Vienna get into a fight. Vienna says Casey ripped the ring off her finger because she wouldn't have sex with him. It's very uncomfortable, and this just further added to my dislike of Casey. This whole fight about them having sex was really, really I do not like them as a couple. I do not like him individually. It was really uncomfortable to watch. He says in ITMs that it's performative. She's acting. Then he tells her he's going to leave if she doesn't go downstairs. And she's like, you're not giving me a choice, because if you leave, I have to leave. We're a couple. And, like, we then see them in the boom boom room. So she goes downstairs. They end up staying. It's, like, very, very uncomfortable, because she does not seem like she wants to have sex with him. And he seems mad about that. And then he, like, threatens to leave if she doesn't go downstairs with him. I guess the downstairs is the boom boom room. And we do see them, like, on night visions in the boom boom room. Could it have been edited? Not been a shot from another day? Maybe, I don't know. But regardless, the way he treated her was, like, really gross. I really do not like this man. I wonder, I'm really curious if he's going to receive any kind of backlash at the After the Final Rose. I don't know. Really, really do not like the man. It was horrible. Every time he popped up, I was like, I'm so done with him. Anyways, on the night portion of their date, Michelle and Graham watch a movie from a hot tub. I don't remember what the movie was called. They kiss. She feels connected to him in a way she hadn't before. It's a very romantic date. I think of all the kind of Bachelor Nation dates, this is one that I would actually kind of really enjoy. Like, you ride a helicopter and then you're just like, you watch this movie, but like, it's just like a private screening on like a rooftop and you're in a hot tub. That's so fun. I kind of love that. Then back at the mansion, Blake and Erica's date card arrives, and Holly is kind of sad because she really enjoyed her date with Blake, and now she's sad that it won't happen again because they are partnered up with other people, so they cannot go on a date anymore on the show, obviously. Erica is annoyed. She and Blake have a conversation where she explains that him flirting with Holly as much as he does is really hurting their place in the game, and she's just like really annoyed and frustrated by her position in the house, Blake's role in that, and kind of the way he's not helping his case by continuing to flirt with Holly, even though he can tell that that's obviously upsetting Michael. And Michael is in good standing in the house. She is excited for the date, though, Erica, because she wants to seduce him. She's, like, ready to seduce him and, like, fortify their partnership. The people back at the mansion, Blake not included, talk about Blake being shady and, like, them not liking him, basically. Very much the edit is Blake is persona non grata or whatever the phrase is, and they want Blake out. That is where we stand right now with Blake. Blake and Erica's date is, like, at a really nice hotel, and they go, like, underground in these catacomb-esque tunnels, and she starts talking about how she's talked to deceased people in her life. I kind of love her. Then she starts talking about her astrologer, Herb, and how he said she'd make it to the end, and there would be a romantic spark, but it would happen later in the game. And then Erica in ITM says that if she and Blake develop a romantic relationship, it could strengthen their partnership because the Holly stuff is causing tension for him currently. So she's like, this is a win-win either way because it will lessen the blowback on him if he's no longer pursuing Holly, and also we can strengthen our partnership as a duo in the competition. So she is very much looking to seduce him, not only because she's like interested in that, but also because it could help their positioning in the house. They arrive at dinner and there are roses on the table, and they find out that they have the ability to save another couple, but not themselves. Blake in ITM says it's like one last breath of air trying to keep them alive because they can maybe utilize these roses to gain favor, gain votes, do something to keep themselves in the game. Michael takes the opportunity of Blake being out of the house to talk to Holly. He says he's fallen in love with her. Isn't it worth trying again? She says she feels like the bad guy for not running back to him, but he could have spoken to her many times throughout the last few months and didn't. And she's just very much questioning if he's doing it because they're on the show now and they're in proximity. And like, she's basically like, what's changed? Like, we're just together. Besides, like, we're near each other all the time. We're in this environment. Besides that, like, what has changed? She says that the way he's approaching their relationship now and wanting to get back together is exactly what happened on her end. She ended things, but then she realized how much she loved him and she wanted things back, and they never were back exactly as they were. And he's kind of doing that now, where he ended things with her, but he realized how much he loved her and he's coming back and being like, I want things back the way they were. Which is interesting. They have a really real, like, honestly, if this was scripted TV, I would be eating it up in terms of, like, the angst, the tension, the, like, breaking up and getting back together, and the, like, the, it's so potent and real in a really tangible way that is really compelling to watch. Like, it's great reality TV. The casting for this season, casting so many people with, like, pre-existing relationships, was genius, whoever came up with it. Holly in ITM says that he's saying everything she wanted to hear, but she's mad that it took her talking to another man to prompt this. Again, that is so, like, you couldn't write that better. Like, I can envision, like, I can literally see this in, like, a rom-com, teenage, like, you know, coming of age. Like, it's so romantic in a, like, sad way. Back on the date, Erica is determined to seduce Blake. He's worried, however, that being gone overnight would be bad because of the target on his back. he wants to like be in the house to talk to people, to gain favor. He doesn't want to lose a night potentially of gaming. But she says that him going back to the mansion will actually make the target worse because people will think he's still interested in Holly. And if he stays, people will maybe think that he is past Holly, he's fully into Erica, and that will be better for him and his perception. And I will say, I do think Erica's point is interesting. It's hard for me to know because it's like, could have, should have, would have. But I really don't know because I feel like the Holly stuff did hurt Blake's image. And obviously it's not helping him, but I don't really know if him being, like, I feel like the damage is done at that point. I don't think the only reason they like him or they don't like him is because of the Holly stuff. I think there's a lot of just, you know, disdain towards him. And I do not know if him pairing up with Erica, especially at this like stage in the game, I don't really think that it would fix much. But I understand what she's trying to do because she's trying to be like, hey, focus on this duo. Stop thinking about Holly. He's kind of frustrated and she's not budging on him like going back to the mansion. And he says in ITMs that he needs to focus on the game and remove any romantic involvement. Back at the mansion, Holly is really conflicted. She talks through it. She talks it through with Ella. Everyone is telling her that she should be with Michael and she's not ready to be there with him again. And she wishes people knew the depth of the pain from that breakup. She says he could have talked to her all this time and is now pursuing her again. And she's just like really, really conflicted. Back on the date, Erica is really pushing for her and Blake to spend the night. He's like, look, this is my third date, okay? I went on a date with Melissa and then that didn't end well. I went on a date with Holly and that is complicated. Now I'm here. I think I'll look like a flip-flopper and like not good if I like spend the night with you. And he tells her, and she, as much as I like Erica and I've been a fan of Erica, I did not love the way she handled this because she was very much like being persistent when he was like, no. And I just think she should have just been like, okay, cool. He said, no, let's wrap it up. And I do think some of the like, game way she was pushing back on the game made sense. But I think just generally trying to push him and be like, it would mean so much to me, you know, to for you to spend the night. Like, that is a little much. And he does tell her that if the roles were reversed and he was being persistent while she was, like, saying no, it would be weird. And he says something about, like, imagine if I told the boys that I brought condoms just like you told all the girls that you brought the sexy lingerie. Like, basically talking about how he kind of took issue with the way that Erica kind of was talking about them having sex as like a given, like it was something that was going to happen. She was telling all the girls she brought lingerie, like he would just automatically say yes, and that kind of rubbed him the wrong way. And so he was like, if I had told all the guys like, yeah, I brought condoms and just assumed that she would say yes, it would be weird. And she says in ITMs, completely misunderstanding his point, she says, Blake tells me that me telling the girls that I was bringing my sexy lingerie is the same as if he told the guys that he was bringing condoms. And I agree. And I wish that he had. And it's like, no, you're missing the point. He's saying if he's not saying like you're interested in having sex, like it would imagine if I was interested in having sex. He's saying, imagine if you were not interested in having sex with me, but I was talking about us spending the night like it was a given. Like, that is what he was trying to say. Anyways, she says he's worried about his reputation. He hooked up with a crazy girl and then went after a girl who had a boyfriend. She just kissed a guy who had been the bachelor. She's trying to be like, you're worried about your reputation. My reputation's fine. And then she says, verbatim, I wrote this down because I thought it was funny. You're a Gemini and you have two different sides and I don't like that side. And now I know that. That was funny to me. She's upset because she thinks he should be more interested in her because they're partners. And like, maybe I'd see her side if this was like a while ago, but they kind of partnered up by default and in a weird position because he in an ideal world would have partnered up with Holly, but Holly's ex was there and it was like complicated. It's not really like he was leading her on or like was trying to get a rose from her for safety the way he did with Melissa. Like, it does suck. And I don't like Blake. Like, I'm not riding hard for Blake. I think he was very, like, fucked up with the way he handled the whole Melissa situation. In terms of the situation with Holly, I do think he lacks, like, tact, and he's a little bit, like, he's a piece of work, but, like, pursuing Holly within itself, I don't think is, like, a bad thing to do. It was just the way he handled it and the way he was still kind of keeping Melissa on the line the whole time. Like, there are a lot of issues that I have with Blake, but, like, in this regard, I don't really think that there's anything wrong with him not being interested in her romantically, despite them being partnered up, because they kind of partnered up at the last minute. So in that regard, I will defend Blake. He is upset. He says that if he could do it all again, he'd pair up with Holly from the beginning. They go back to the mansion. Holly is happy that Blake did not spend the night with Erica. The next day, Erica and Blake kind of bury the hatchet, and they both decide to focus on the game, specifically what they will do with the two roses that they've been given. Erica doesn't want to promise the roses to anyone, but does want people to know that they have them, so they'll talk real game to them, because Erica feels like no one is really going to say much to them, because they are kind of, Erica and Blake right now are kind of the people that are expected to go home, so nobody's talking any real strategy with them because there's no point. Erica and Blake first tell Ella and Kirk, and Blake says ideally all the votes would go the same way. Whoever is in line with Graham, they'd give the rose to, and that couple would then vote to keep Erica and Blake. Basically, they want to leverage the roses to get the votes to stay, and they think that the way to do this is by giving the roses to whoever is most closely aligned to Michelle and Graham, because they think Michelle and Graham will then vote with, like, they want to give the roses to whoever they think will be voting the same way that Michelle and Graham are going, because that's, like, a guaranteed vote, I guess. That made no sense. Anyways, Blake and Erica then tell Vienna and Casey, and Ellen ITMs is worried that Casey and Vienna will manipulate them and get the rose out of them. Casey says in ITMs they'd be fools to give the roses to anyone else. Vienna and Casey are their best options. And, like, genuinely, how? Like, how? I am so tired of Casey talking about how everybody else doing what is best for him in the game is what is best for them in the game, even when that is categorically false. Is there a scenario where giving Casey and Vienna the rose is maybe, like, smart? Maybe. Because maybe they're more closely aligned with Graham and Michelle. I don't know. I think that's stupid. But Casey and Vienna do, like, appeal to them, and they say that they have voted with Michelle and Graham, like, they voted all together the entire time. Like, the thing that gets me, and maybe I just have, maybe it's clearer to me because I'm watching this. Out of the options, the people who, like, yeah, I guess Casey and Vienna have had clout this entire time. And, like, Erica and Blake are making compelling points about, like, Ella's, like, backstory in the way that would kind of weigh people. Like, that is very much like anybody will win against them. Like, you need to get Ella and Kirk out. That's kind of like the way, like, I guess they think that voting Ella and Kirk out is, like, more convincing than voting Vienna and Casey out, so they want to save Vienna and Casey. But, like, to me, between Ella and Kirk or Vienna and Casey, I would rather it be between Vienna and Casey and then whatever couple I'm a part of, because Vienna and Casey are, like, ruffling feathers. I don't think anybody's going to vote Kirk and Ella out. Like, I don't know. Maybe they will. It's hard, but it's Vienna and Casey end up convincing them. And I was like, so I'm done. I'm done at this point. At least I don't think that they're going to make it to the final four. I really have hope that they're not going to make it to the final four. But they convince them. They give their roses to Casey and Vienna. And I was pissed off. I really was. Ella cries. She says that they struck a deal with the devil. And honestly, she's right. They did strike a deal with the devil. That is exactly how I would describe Casey. Then it is time for the rose ceremony. Chris Harrison, it's like the rose ceremony cocktail party, not the actual rose ceremony. Chris Harrison explains the voting. They will vote as a couple, but only the women go into the booth. like into the deliberation room and put a picture. That's dangerous. I would be lying to my partner. I would just lie to my partner. Blake feels confident that he is not going. He really is beginning to trust the Vienna and Casey of it all, which is stupid, but what can you say? Vienna says a lot of people are struggling to vote for Ella because of her story, but she says they all have a story and she's not going to go out there and like pour out hers. That's something you do in the end, in like the final appeal. Erica says that they chose to keep Vienna and Casey safe because Grim and Michelle are already in an alliance with them. And it's like, I get that. It's probably easier as a viewer to be like, no, 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 no. But alas, what can you say? They're not seeing all the ITMs of like the rest of the people being like, Vienna and Casey are really like starting to piss me off, you know? So whatever. Vienna and Casey do keep their word and vote for Ella and Kirk though. So like all things considered, they didn't like betray them in that regard. I think they put too much stock in Vienna and Casey swaying the votes. Blake and Holly cuddle by the fire. He's saying in ITMs that Michelle and Graham are voting with Casey and Vienna, which means they're safe. I fear that they won't. Like at this point, I was like, Michelle and Graham are definitely not voting with Casey and Vienna. Blake's going home. There's been no mention of who Graham and Michelle are voting for. So, like, definitely they are not voting in the way that they're saying that they're going to vote, because then there would be no storyline. Michael passes Blake and Holly as they are kissing by the fire. Michael then goes up to Graham and Michelle and tells them that he can't vote for Kirk and Ella before he votes Blake off. Like, he can't do it. Graham promised to do whatever he could to help Michael during this game. So he begins to sour on voting Kirk and Ella. Again, I think that they underestimated the loyalties. Michelle and Graham are not more loyal to Casey and Vienna than they are to Michael. Maybe that's easier for me to see as an audience member, but it's just like, they do not like Casey and Vienna that much. Am I crazy? Michelle and Graham then tell Casey and Vienna that keeping Blake is not good for them. It's not worth it for them, so they are not going to do it. At this point, Vienna and Casey have already voted Ella and Kirk out, so they're like, ooh. And Vienna says that they won't, Vienna tries to convince them. She says that they won't win, Michelle and Graham won't win against Ella and Kirk at the end because of Ella's story. And Michelle says that's just not true. And Michelle and Graham are voting for Blake and Erica tonight for sure. I really like this. Michelle was like, we all have a story. Like, at the end of the day, we're going to vote on who played the best game. Like, I'm not going to vote her out because of that. I'm on her side. Like, the thing is, I get it. I personally, it's hard because I also don't really like, if I was in this position, would I probably keep Kirk and Ella over Blake and Erica? Probably. As a viewer, I wanted Blake and Erica to stick around because they were more interesting and I was rooting for Erica. But like, I understand why in that position, which is why I think it would have been better to save Kirk and Ella, because then Vienna and Casey are still up for grabs and they can vote them out. And they've just generally been unlikable. I don't know. Anyways, Graham tells Blake that they're voting him and Erica out, and he's obviously angry. Casey couldn't sway the votes, and he's mad. He's mad that he put his trust in the wrong people, which is fair, but also, like, has anybody who's trusted Casey done well on this season so far? Casey is not. Like, the thing is, I really don't like Casey based on, like, the way he carries himself and, like, his personal vibe. Don't really like his personality, the way he's been a boyfriend, like, the kind of boyfriend he is, the kind of communicator he is. I do not enjoy Casey. I also don't really like Blake. But the difference for me between Blake and Casey is that Blake is at least a little bit interesting to watch. Casey is just icky. Like, Casey just makes me, like, my skin crawl, and I, like, wanna, like, he makes me, like, deeply uncomfortable. Like, it's consistently horrible things, the way he treats this woman he's supposedly in love with. And I just know for a fact, based off of everything that I know about the history of, not the history, about like the way The Bachelor production works and the ITMs, which are like the confessionals, work. You're there for hours and hours, and you kind of befriend the producers. And it kind of, in some moments, becomes you just kind of having a conversation with them. And I just know that those clips of Casey being like, oh, she's being performative, or like she said Jake was a fame whore, she's even worse. Like, I just know that was him being like buddy buddy with his like producers, and that's like the way he would talk about her to his friends, about her being crazy. And I don't like him. Blake at least adds something to the game of it all. Like, I have to say, I think one of the most interesting mini plays, it wasn't like a huge, like long play, but I really liked in the kissing competition, the way Blake was like, I'm gonna kiss each woman the way that I think she would want to be kissed. That within itself, like, is such a like minor thing, but he was like the first person to say that out of both seasons. Everybody's just kind of like, I'm a good kisser. I'm gonna kiss the best I can kiss. I'm putting my all into the kisses. Blake was very strategically like, based off of what kind of kisses these women would like to receive is the kind of kiss I'm gonna give, which just proves that he deserved to win that competition. Like things like that, where it's like Blake's strategy, I just enjoyed. Like Casey has like a holier than thou, keeping me is better for you, without any real like backing behind it. Blake is more like outwardly like, I'm manipulating her, but like I'm manipulating her. Like he's, you know, Casey has his attitude of like, I'm not manipulative, I'm not a bad guy, I'm a good guy, keeping me around is good because I'm a good guy. Like there's just a like, that just makes it ickier, you know what I mean? Because there's not a level of self-awareness. Blake, it feels like the ways that he's being like manipulative and like messing with things, it feels like it's very much like because he's on a TV show and he wants to be entertaining. Casey, it feels like that's just who he is. That's like he's trying to be as outwardly a good guy as he can be, but he can't get through it. I don't know. That made no sense. Holly and Michael will be the deciding vote. Holly doesn't want to vote for Blake because of her personal feelings towards him, but Michael obviously does. Blake says in ITMs that Michael's personal vendetta against him could be the death blow for him. Holly tries to convince Michael that they should keep Blake. She's very torn, and he says the decision is on her. He places it firmly on her shoulders. She's crying, and Ella talks to her, saying that Michael will understand whatever she has to do. In ITM, she says she's torn because she doesn't want to hurt Michael, but she doesn't want to wake up tomorrow and have Blake not be there. The first roses go to Holly and Michael. So it's between Blake, Erica, and Ella and Kirk, of course. The last two roses go to Ella and Kirk, which means that Erica and Blake are going home. R.I.P. Erica, she was so funny. I'm gonna miss her. At least there's only one episode without her. Like, you know what? That's like not bad at all. The place that she got in the game with like pure strategy, very little. She got farther than she could have. I'm proud of her. Holly is sad because she knows that Blake knows that she voted for him, and like that hurts her just as much as casting the vote for him. Erica says in her exit interview, tonight was a great injustice, just because a large part of me leaving was because of Holly and because of all the negative attention that she caused on Blake. It's disappointing to me that there was just too big of a mess for me to clean up no matter how hard I tried. And like, that is, I do think, an unfortunate part of the game, where if you're not paired up and you don't have some kind of solid connection, you end up with somebody by default. And then she was just kind of like, at that point, like, let's say the situation was different and kind of Kirk hadn't really partnered up with anybody, and Erica had been able to partner up with somebody like Kirk, like things would have just been very different. So I can't really blame her, I guess, but it does make me sad for her. But I also think she did as good as she could with the position she had in the house. So, and going against the house too, a lot of the times, like, she wasn't just going with what the general people wanted. She was scheming, she was gaming, she was manipulating. She like really played hard, and I can appreciate that. I really can. Blake in his exit says he's mostly just sad to be leaving Holly. She gave him a note as he was leaving that says her heart is breaking and this isn't the end for them. I'm excited to see in the finale, specifically like the reunion part, if we find out some kind of update about them, if they pursued anything, if they didn't. I don't really know. I'm excited to see where that goes. Honestly, maybe the season will end with like Michael and Holly being together again, and that will, like, I honestly, I don't know. I'm excited to see where it ends. I apologize for the delayed episode, and this episode will also be kind of short, but that's fine. Next episode will be out, I don't know when, hopefully somewhat soon. Thank you so much for tuning in. Sorry the episode's short. Thank you again. You'll hear from me soon. Have a great week.